I think I can go along with that. My father would very often have a beer on rare occasions too, but never more than that. And I've done that. I've done the same. I cannot think of a single time in my adult life I've had more than four beers in one sitting. And it's like, yeah.
I can remember going to restaurants and my dad being incensed if I wasn't allowed to have a little glass of wine. Now these days you couldn't even begin to expect a restaurant to do that, I don't think. But back then, you know, give them a glass, let them have a teeny bit of wine, but people would say no. And some of that is cultural, I guess, as well as how you view the world. But
really?
Did your dad, you mentioned welding, and that sounds like work he did around the house.
He was a carpenter, millwright, iron worker. He always working on some union project, building bridges, working in hospitals, building the hospital.
Mm.
So, you know, this is the building boom of the 60s and 70s.
Those incredible skills to think about. And my dad, he did not do a whole lot of physical things. He loved the solder and to make Heath kits. Remember?
Yeah, I remember them.
Them,
you know, he was much into. You know, he had always had motorcycles around, so there was. I'm not sure exactly what it was that he would weld together with him to repair a motorcycle, but maybe putting it together a motorcycle rack to go in the back of the van, for example. You know, come home with a truck, a van full of metal pieces, and weld it all together to make a rack that he could put in his van. So,
oh wow! Did he teach you how to weld?
No, I never picked it up. He was always into motorcycles, and I eventually got a motorcycle. But I was more into bicycles than he was. So I don't remember him ever riding a bicycle, but he was riding a motorcycle right into his last year. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure.
You've got me thinking about a lot of things now, too. Take care.
Yep.
That's Stu in McCandless. My dad did teach me how to solder, which came along with a lesson in eutectics and all sorts of other things that you learn if you're the son of a metallurgist.
Dear old dad, we love you so.
Dear old dad, we are glad to be here with you on this day of days, and we swear always that we will be here on this day each year. Today, Father, is Father's Day, and we're giving you a tie. It's not much we know, it's just our way of showing you we think you're a regular guy. You say that it was nice of us to bother, but it really was a pleasure to fuss. For according to our mother, you're our father, and that's good enough for us.
Today, Father, is Father's Day, a day that we all revere.
The tie that you got didn't cost such a lot, but we will give you the same tie next year.
You tell us it was nice of us to bother. But it really was a pleasure to fuss through.
For they say a child can only have one father, and you are the one for us.
Yes, you are the one for us.
Groucho Marx, by multiple request, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets Stu's weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Life Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
Potato chips, how my mouth just drips. Potato chips, how my mouth just drips. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Potato chips, how my mouth does drip. Potato chips, how my mouth does drip. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. No matter where it is, you'll always find a bag around. Be in a bar, a picnic, even a baseball ground. Potato chips, how my mouth does drip. Potato chips, oh, drip, drip, drip. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Bang, bang, bang. I want a bag of crunchy, crunchy potato chips. Crunch, crunchy, crunchy. I crunch, crunch, crunch. I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Potato chips, how my mouth does drip. Potato chips. Crunchy, 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 crunchy. Don't bring me no lunch. All I want is potato chips. No matter where it is, you'll find a bag around. I could be even in a bar, a picnic, a baseball ground. It doesn't matter. Oh, those potato, tater chips. Potato, potato, a chippy chippo. Crunch, crunch, don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips.
Slim Galyard and his Baker's Dozen here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Happy to tell you that the Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh is here. This is a unique group. It's youth-led and oriented. And we will talk with the representatives that are here today about their love of Shakespeare, but also about an upcoming production of Much Ado About Nothing that will be July 7th, 8th, and 9th at a most unusual location.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Going to keep you in suspense with respect to that location that this production is in. We'll tell you the official production place in just a moment. And I'm so happy we've got five members of the Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh with us today. You've almost sat in order by age, almost. But let's have you meet each of them, and I'll ask you if you could please just introduce yourself, perhaps your age, and you can let us also any shout-outs you might have. Tilly, you were here last week. I remember meeting you. You were here to check out the space.
Yeah, it was really fun. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great to have you here. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Oh, my name is Tilly, as Larry just said, and I'm 10 years old, and I don't really have any shout-outs thing.
Who brought you here today?
My dad.
He's out there somewhere.
Yeah,
I saw him.
He's in the Hawaiian shirt, yeah.
We'll give him a shout-out.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you here on the radio this time.
His name is Mike.
Hi, Mike. And do you have a role in the play?
Oh, I'm Margaret, and Messenger One.
Excellent.
Hi, I'm Sydney. I'm 14, and I'm playing Ursula and Verges. They're a lot of fun.
Oh, it's. I'm glad that they're fun characters. Who brought you here today?
My mom and my sister's out there as well.
And what's her name?
Sienna.
It's so nice to have you here, and I'm glad. Have you been in other productions?
Yes, I've been in Twelfth Night last year, which was also a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Now, see, we're going in order from 10 years of age to 14, and now we go to Ella, who is 17, I think.
Yeah, hi. My name is Ella Craig, and I'm 17 years old. I'm playing Claudio, and I'm also the assistant director of the show. I guess for shout-outs, it's my mom and dad and my lovely boyfriend who's also listening in for a second time. So, hi, Malachi.
Malachi, hi. I remember saying hi to Malachi last time.
Yes,
because, hello, Malachi. You're a keeper. It's been two times at least. We'll listen to this whole, we keep these for history, so hopefully... I shouldn't even joke like that. Next, this is where our age progression fails ever so slightly. Theo is here. Hi.
Hi. My name is Theo Fantozzi. I'm 21 years old. I am one of the founders of YSSP, and I'm also playing Don Pedro for this show and doing some set design for us.
Nice to meet you, and you're at the University of Rhode Island.
Yes.
And you are going into your junior year?
Yes.
Well, it's nice to have you with us. And then next to Theo, we have?
Hi, my name is Kinsley Beechler. I'm 20 years old. I am the director of Much Ado About Nothing. And I mean, if I'm throwing out thanks, I want to thank everybody in the cast because it's been a wonderful time and I'm excited to finish up the process with all of them.
Well, we're going to talk about your favorite lines in a little bit from the play, and there's lots of things we're going to want to talk about. But first, let's just talk about why Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh. There are certainly plenty of Shakespeare presenters of all types. This one's pretty unique, though, and I'd love to learn why it exists and a bit about the passion behind the organization. Any of you can just jump in as I listen.
We founded the organization as high school students, actually, because we were looking for opportunities to perform Shakespeare. It was a big passion of mine and my friends, and Kinsley's also been with us since our very first production. And there just wasn't a lot of, you know, year-round opportunities for students who are interested in this sort of niche. And we also, all of us who are on the creative side of YSSP, just have such a passion for creating theater and bringing classic works to more people. And it's just a really beautiful thing that's sort of grown out of that and become its own community.
What is it about Shakespeare that captivates you?
Wow. I think that it is the chance to connect to a text that has existed in so many forms for so long and to bring it in new lights to a modern audience and especially to a young audience. I find that really exciting.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to add, Tilly?
Yeah, I was in Romeo and Juliet last year. I am a musical theater person, but I also like Shakespeare. And it's just really fun for me because I have never met these are the nicest teenagers I've ever met. And I would like to give a shout out to all of these cast members and all the people that have worked with me to, like, help me become a better Shakespeare.
Are you the youngest person company?
Yes, I'm the youngest. I'm 10.
And that's by far. What a nice compliment to say the nicest teenagers you've ever met. Tell me about your musical theater work.
Oh, yes. I worked in Hometown Arts Troupe, and I have done Mary Poppins, Annie, Frozen, and I have been Wacky in the Star to Be in Annie, and I have been Young Elsa in Frozen, and I have done Seussical, and this year we just put on Mary Poppins.
That's great. Now, aside from the material itself being Shakespeare instead of musical theater, how does a production with YSSP differ for you in terms of learning about it, being directed? I'm sure there's a different vibe to this organization since it was founded and run by teens.
Yes, it's a very different vibe, and I have been, like, very blown away about how much these teenagers know about Shakespeare. I went in this blind. I had no idea what Shakespeare was. I only knew what Midsummer Night's Dream and Juliet and Romeo and Juliet were, and that's all it was. So I went here knowing nothing, and these teenagers just blew my mind about Shakespeare.
That's very good to hear. Does anybody else want to add anything about the purpose of Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh, or what it means to you to have an organization that essentially is peer-based and gives you a chance to present Shakespeare as younger people to a wide audience?
Yeah, so Youth Shakespeare was what really opened my eyes to a spark that I had for directing for a whole new part of theater I never knew I had. Honestly, if it was not for Theo, I do not think I'd be here. Like, right after this, me and Theo are going to have a meeting with Michael Campaino, who is the director of The Collective, to see if we can direct a show with him for their next couple of workshops coming up, I'm pretty sure. So, like, if it really was not for Theo and this company, I would definitely not have found this spark. But also, going back to Shakespeare,
When I first came to this company, my first production was Twelfth Night last summer, and I got the role of Viola. She is the main character of Twelfth Night, and I was utterly shocked. I was just like Tilly. I knew quite literally nothing about Shakespeare, and I had never been introduced to it. I never really had a passion for it, and I remember going into the show, everyone in the show knew how to talk, what they were saying, and I was like, my God, I'm the lead, and I have no clue what I'm doing and saying. And one thing about Shakespeare is it's interesting because you can do so much incredible character analysis and just analysis within the text and the characters, but the way that Shakespeare writes is everything, all the emotions, everything that these characters feel is right on the surface level. There is no boundaries with these characters. They just present everything they feel with every single word they say, and that is something in theater I feel like has been kind of lost a little bit more with modern theater. Don't get me wrong, modern theater is still incredible. It's still sparking lots of light in kids every day, but I feel like with Shakespeare, it really brings out a different sort of emotional challenge within kids, and especially since we are all kids, that kind of opens up a new door for everyone to experience and explore and get a lot of new type of education.
Thanks, Ella.
Just one last thing about youth Shakespeare. At the end of the day, for me, it's like doing theater with your friends. That's it. It's just creating theater with a bunch of people you care about.
You think, and people think about getting together to play music or to go to a ball game or to go out for a meal or something. Here you get together to talk about theater, create theater, and bring it to life. So, Theo, what is your major at Rhode Island?
I'm studying theater and classics with concentrations on directing and stage management.
But I was wondering.
I kind of do it all.
I kind of figured that was probably the case. Now, you entered the school with a lot of knowledge already in these areas. How has the school, well, before I say how has it, I should ask, has it, hopefully, refined and informed you, you know, with new approaches and new ideas? Because a lot of times I think people might wonder, I've already starred or directed in a high school musical and plays, I've done this, what might college bring to me? And some people do end up going directly into theater, skipping college, and everybody has different needs and reasons. But I'm just curious what the experience has been like for you.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that there is absolutely value to going straight into theater if that's what you know you want to do. But something that I've really appreciated about my college experience is I sort of went in really looking for that more general education and wider spread of knowledge. And as I've continued through the program, I've realized that focusing on theater is what's really right for me. And I've also, going to college for me has really been an education in learning everything, like learning how much I don't know and how much there is still to learn, which I personally find really exciting. And yeah, I'm very, very grateful to the people who I've met through my college theater program and what I've been able to do with them. I think I have a little bit of a habit of forming organizations, you might say, but I also started a student-led theater collective at my college because we didn't have a separate drama club from the theater department. I was able to co-direct Hamlet with them this past semester, which was a really phenomenal experience, and I feel very grateful to the way that working with other actors and theater makers who care so much about this craft and put so much time and work into it has pushed me to continually be better and care more about it.
You're listening to members of the Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh here at the Saturday Light Brigade, and coming up, they're going to do Much Ado About Nothing July 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Perman Funeral Home. That's the surprise location outside at the Perman Funeral Home in the North Hills. And what a great location. You had a park planned, right? And it wasn't available. The show must go on. So it's very kind of the funeral home to allow you to use some of their property. How did that come about?
We have an actor who has access through their family to the funeral home and was very lucky that she was willing to work with us on that.
I'll say 923 Saxonburg Boulevard is its location, and we've linked to how you can get tickets Friday, July 7th, Saturday the 8th, both at 5:30, and then Sunday, a matinee at 2 o'clock on July 9th. Now, you all have brought some favorite lines from the play, and I'm curious. I can't wait to hear what they are. Tilly, do you want to start? Do you each have one or two?
I just have one.
Okay.
Big line. This is Act 3, Scene 4, and this is my line. Moral? No, I meant plain holy thistle. You may think, perchance, that I think you are in love. Nay, I am not such a fool to think what I list, nor I list not to think what I can. Nor, indeed, I cannot think. If I would think my heart out of thinking that you are in love, or that you will be in love, or that you can be in love. Yet Benedict was such another that he is now a man. He has swore he would never marry, and yet now he eats his meat without grudging.
Wow. First of all, I can't imagine memorizing that line.
Yeah.
Are you off book yet?
Kind of. Not really.
I'm very proud of using the term off book as if I knew what I was talking about. What do you like about that line?
I like that I am talking to Beatrice, and I am telling her that, no, I don't think you are in love, but the way that I say it, that's what I like about it, the way that I say it.
You kind of break it.
Yeah.
Break it kind of gently.
Yeah.
Sydney, do you have a favorite line that you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. This one's from Ursula. Madam, you must come to your uncle, yonder's old quiet home. It's proven my Lady Hera hath been falsely accused, the prince and Claudia mightily abused, and Don John is the author of it all, who's fled and gone. Will you come presently?
I love the way you emphasize the words and bring that to life as you share it. What do you like about that line?
I like how it sums up everything very neatly. Throughout the play, there's a lot of beating around the bush and talking about the events kind of as if they're not really happening, but this one really brings everything in a short burst. It really tells the entire story basically in one line.
Yeah, it's very blunt yet eloquent. Too, and
yes.
You delivered it beautifully. Who would like to go next? Okay, here comes Ella.
All right, so this is from Act 4, Scene 1, and it's Claudia. O hero, what a hero hadst thou been if half thy outward graces had been placed about thy thoughts and counsels of thy heart. But fare thee well, most foul, most fair, farewell. Thou pure impity and impious purity, for thee I'll lock up all the gates of love, and on my eyelids shall conjecture hang, to turn all beauty into thoughts of harm, and never shall it more be gracious. Thank you.
What a line you chose. And what about that line stuck out to you?
So this is the scene where Claudio confronts Hero for, slight spoiler, but like not, quote-unquote cheating on him. And it is just one thing about Claudio is he thinks with his heart and he gets very impulsive and he says very impulsive and does very impulsive things, especially in this whole scene, which you will see if you come to the show. But it's a very, very impulsive, mean line. I think it's very intense for his character.
Thank you. And now, Theo, are you next? So Theo's got a line to share.
Yes, this is from Act 2, Scene 1. I will, in the interim, undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring the Signor Benedick and Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection, the one with the other. I would fain have it a match, and I doubt not but to fashion it if you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direction.
Who is saying that?
This is Don Pedro. He is the brother of Don John, who also, slight spoilers, is sort of the antagonist of the whole show who's setting things up.
I love the way you delivered. Are these all the original lines, or have they been updated a bit? Or no, they're pretty much...
Yeah. They are the original lines. We kind of shortened some of them because otherwise the play would be like 3 hours long. But these are all the original lines unedited. So
they sound great. Now you're hearing Kinsley now, and I didn't get a chance to ask you. You're at Seton Hill. What are you studying there?
I'm studying musical theater.
Terrific. And what line did you bring?
I actually brought a series of two lines, also from 4-1. It comes with a little bit of a story. Before we fully understood like the depth of the scene and how serious it was, some of the lines kind of seemed funny out of context. So the first few times how these two lines were delivered was very comedic, even though it is a serious moment. And I'm going to deliver them the way that they were delivered. So... This looks not like a nuptial. True. Oh, God.
I love it.
It's just a little funny.
Yeah. And did you have one more? Or are those two?
Those are two lines.
The two lines together.
Yes.
Okay. These lines seem very contemporary,
yes.
What they're about and also the way they're written. So Much Ado About Nothing, presented by Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh, only has three runs, July 7th and July 8th at 5:30, and then July 9th at 2 o'clock at Perman Funeral Home on Saxonburg Boulevard. It's an outdoor program. You might want to bring a lawn chair or two, I suspect, and enjoy things there. Is there anything else anyone would like to say about the play? We have a couple minutes. Anything maybe I neglected to ask?
So the story of Much Ado About Nothing in the original context is a story about boys coming back from war and kind of finding people to become their peace after the war. But in our version, because we are working with children, I thought it would be fun if it was boys coming back from a boarding school and going to a summer camp to find their, like, first loves.
I like it. I like it. That makes sense. A little bit more pleasant than coming back from war.
Yes.
Anybody else want to add anything that they might have missed?
Oh, yeah. So basically, I'm just going to tell the whole story out. So first of all, just like Kinsley said, they're all coming home from boarding school as the play we're doing it. And so these two people, Claudio and Hero, get married in it, which is like an elementary school marriage, like in our play that we're doing. And, well, so, like Ella said, Claudio, Don John makes up a hoax with Margaret and Friar Borachio. I have no idea, but...
I see Theo's jumping in.
Yeah.
Probably, we don't want to give away any spoilers.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a good story.
Yeah, it is. It
sounds like a very good story.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a good sort of teaser into what we're looking at. I just wanted to mention a few more fun things you can look for if you come to the show. We're going to have, we'll give this without spoilers, we're going to have a water fight at some point. There'll be water guns used. There's going to be a kiddie pool on set. It's been really fun working with the set design and sort of finding this, being able to transport the audience into a summer camp in a really sort of micro way, the suggestion of it, without creating too much visual distraction from all of the great directing work that Kinsley's doing. Any other exciting little moments that I'm missing in the show? Yeah.
Sounds like everybody is on track. Well, we've linked to the ticket location from slbradio.org, or you can Google Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh. I want to thank all of you for being here today. You did a great job. Tilly, Sydney, Ella, Kinsley, and Theo, best wishes for a great performance. Broadcasting, or set of performances, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, Chad Green, Alexa Bosick, and Ty Chorosky here as well. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday Mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
I'm getting bigger day by day. I'm getting so much bigger day by day. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. I'm getting smarter day by day. I'm getting so much smarter day by day. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. I'm getting stronger, so much stronger day by day. My hair is getting longer day by day. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Well, well, I know my mama loved me. My daddy do too. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. I'm getting older, so much older, day by day. Getting braver and bolder, day by day. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Well, well, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Yes, I know my mommy loved me. My daddy do too. Well, well, I know my mama loved me. My daddy do too. Oh, oh, oh. Day by day. My mama loved me. Day by day. My daddy do too. Day by day. Oh, my mama loved me.
The Persuasions from our Father's Day library. Coming up in about half an hour, Ernie Hawkins is here. And he'll be joined by Clint. The two of them, just terrific. Clint Hoover and Ernie Hawkins. Today they are going to be previewing a show they have a week from today in Point Breeze that we'll talk about just about 30 minutes away on today's Saturday Light Brigade.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
In case you are tuned in for the very first time, or if you've just been wondering a little bit, this segment, we call it our Youth Express segment, there is no devoted place in media, particularly mass media, like FM broadcasting, that features teens. There are very few. There's certainly none in the region where you're probably listening, and there are very few in the country. And it's important to us. You'll see and hear people, say, under 21 all over the media, but typically they are featured because they're at one end of a spectrum or the other, maybe because they got in trouble or maybe because they've had something that somebody considers to be a singular accomplishment. It's important for us to have people of all types and to make sure we celebrate youth voice. You heard just a few moments ago somebody as young as 10 in the same segment with somebody who's 21. Here's someone who's right in the middle, and actually she does have a very singular accomplishment. She's a gifted writer. And Liv, welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 15 and I really like to write. I've done multiple competitions through my last year of eighth grade, and then this year as a freshman in high school. And I've had a lot of recognition for those, actually. I've won quite a few poetry competitions. I've been published twice. I was on the show last year for a story. I won a Scholastic Silver Key Award. And then this year, I won a very high award for a poem I wrote.
Yeah, it's amazing the award that you won. And we'll talk about that from the Ligonier Valley Writers. What motivated you to begin submitting your writing to different competitions?
Well, when I would write, I would share it like with my friends, and they would all say, you know, this is really good. You know, you're quite a writer, you're quite a poet. And so eighth grade rolled along, and then my English teacher had like this whole Google spreadsheet almost of different writing competitions, and I just thought, you know, I'll give it a try, you know, because if I really am as good as everyone says I am, you know, why not win something for it?
That takes a lot of courage. Is it hard to prepare something to submit? I mean, is it hard knowing when you're done? Because I would think you might keep redrafting and redrafting. There must be deadlines.
Yeah, there are a bunch of deadlines, and I don't know. How I know I'm really finished is, like, I'll just type up whatever, you know, I'm thinking about, or come up with a story, and I'll read it, and I'll be like, yeah, that's good.
That's terrific. What is the name of that teacher you just mentioned, and are there any other teachers you'd like to acknowledge?
So this teacher, her name is Amy Bouch, or Mrs. Bouch, and she's been, I think, one of my biggest supporters through my writing journey. And I'd also like to mention my literature teacher, Miss Holleran, because she also helped me learn a lot about writing and writing techniques. And also, she was like, I think, one of my favorite teachers I've ever had, because she was just so wonderful.
Oh, that's good to know. I was curious how your transition to high school has been to just finishing on your first year. That's one of the harder transitions, I think. Did it go okay?
Yeah. You know, throughout middle school, you are made to think that high school is like this huge thing. And then you get there and you're like, oh, I'm here now.
Well, I'm glad it went well. So Tell me a little bit, you're going to share it, but is there anything you'd like to say about the poem that you wrote?
Yeah, so it kind of deals on the subject of, like, grief and heartbreak. I wrote it during a time I was going through a really bad breakup, so I thought, and I had a lot of, like, unresolved emotions and just so much anger, and so I thought, why not put it into a poem, you know?
What a, again, courageous, especially when you share it with others. Did writing it make you feel different? I mean, did you feel better after writing it?
Yeah, it kind of lifted some of the weight off of my shoulders, almost. Because it felt good to just kind of get out what I was feeling, because it was so hard to describe.
Did you get feedback from people, you know, your own friends or others about it? I wonder if it impacted other people the way it impacted you.
No, I haven't let anyone read it before I submitted it.
Oh, my. How about since it won?
Since it won, I let my parents read it and, like, I shared it with who was at the ceremony. But I really, for any of my family or friends listening, this is like a reveal.
Well, again, I'm very honored that you can share it with us. Do you feel ready to do it? I see you've brought it with
you. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm just going to turn things over to you, and then we'll talk a little bit more afterwards.
Okay. The five stages of grief. One, I wanted to believe that it wasn't real. I wanted to wake up from my nightmare, open my eyes, and see you sleeping next to me. Two, in my letter, I gave you my still-beating heart. I wanted you to know that I would keep bleeding for you. Three, the flowers that had blossomed within my bones had begun to rot away. Withered violets hung from my rib cage, killed by your pestilence. Four, I wanted nothing more than to spit the acid that boiled in my veins into your eyes. Five, the smoldering remains of you finally cooled. I no longer know your name.
Wow. That had to be very hard. I can't imagine what it was like to write that, especially something that is relatively sparse, you know, in words when you bring it together and just very straightforward. Was it hard to write?
Yeah, because, like, again, it was such, like, a hard time for me, and I didn't really know how to describe what I was going through, so it was a hard poem to write.
Do you continue to write now?
Yeah.
How often do you practice? Certainly, you need to write for school, although school's out right now, but do you write most days, or what's your practice like?
Don't know, actually. I just kind of write when I feel like I have something to write about. And I write whenever I have large emotions. Or I write just to get some stuff out.
So it's sort of very natural for you, it sounds like, to just realize that there's something you might want to not necessarily share with the world, but just something you want to get down and out of your head and onto paper. Do you mostly use a paper journal or a device? Or
I kind of switch between my computer and then just, like, writing on paper. It depends what I have closest to me.
I'm just always curious how people practice. What else do you like to do?
I really like to, I'm really into music. I like to play instruments, and then I also like to find new music every day.
That's great. Is there anybody recently you found that you're especially into? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I don't know. I can't really think of anything right now, but I just, because I find, like, so much that I just enjoy.
How do you discover music?
I have this app called Bandcamp, and it's basically, like, a bunch of albums, and it's all sorted into, like, subgenres and genres of music.
I was just looking for something the other day, and Bandcamp helped me find it, and I was thrilled to be able to get a hold of it. It was a Canadian folk singer that I'd been looking for. It's amazing to be able to explore music that way. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about, it's so early, you're 15 and you'll be going into 10th grade. Have you thought about what you might like to do after high school yet?
Yeah, I would like to go to mortuary school.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know anybody in that field?
No.
What got you interested in that?
I mean, I've kind of always been interested in, like, the darker things almost. And, you know, I watch a lot of horror movies and stuff too. But I hear, like, everyone's like, oh, that's gross. That's a gross job. And I'm like, well, I mean, death is natural. Death is a part of our lives. And, you know, it'd be nice to be in that business because I could provide some final comforts to people.
Yeah, it's the last thing in the world I thought of was it being, you know, those negative things. I think there's a lot you probably have to learn, too, in terms mm-hmm. of chemistry and biology and physiology, but above all, interacting with people and being able to help them at signs of grief. And I was going to say, I don't think it's ironic that you wrote a poem involving grief, a different kind of grief, but mm-hmm. just the same. I wish you continued success, Liv. Do you have any plans for the summer?
Yeah, I start a job on Monday. I'm going to be a counselor for a, like, kind of recreation center for my local pool. They run, like, I don't want to call it, like, a daycare service, but that's kind of what it is in my mind. But I'm going to be a counselor for third graders.
Oh, you'll be great at that. Mm-hmm. And that's, you definitely seem like somebody with a lot of empathy. You'd like to care for other people. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add or say? It's been so nice to have you here.
I guess I could leave with a bit of advice, just like, never just stop exploring your passions and your interests and, you know, always look for something new. And then, you know, don't be afraid to explore your emotions, whether they're good or bad.
Wonderful advice. Thank you. So much. That's Olivia Mastrin-Williams, Liv, to you and me. And congratulations on your winning poem. I hope we'll see you again.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks for your kind words about the writing you just heard. What a pleasure. And more to come. The reason we do this is nobody, people forgot to tell us this really isn't possible. But we've just heard from five talented teens plus a 10-year-old who was here with us in this hour. And in just a moment, two truly world-class musicians. Adjectives like world-class get thrown around a lot, but Ernie Hawkins and Clint Hoover are at the top of their instruments, not to mention their musical knowledge, their incredible people. We're fortunate to have them with us. We're getting them set up, and they will be here right after the top of the hour. Starting at our next hour, you'll get a chance to hear them. Thanks for being with us at the Saturday Light Brigade.
Hey, Daddy, what that there? And why that under there? And oh, Daddy, oh, hey, Daddy, hey, look it over there. Hey, what they doing there? And where they going there? And Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Hey, who that in my chair? And what she doing there? And oh, Daddy, oh, hey, Daddy, can I go over there? Hey, Daddy, what's a square? And where do we get air? And Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? My quizzical kid, man, he doesn't want anything here. He's forever demanding to know who, what, and why, and where. Inquisitive child, and sometimes the questions get wild. Like, Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Don't wanna comb my hair, and wear my teddy bear. And oh, Daddy, oh, hey, look at the cowboy coming there. Hey, can I have a pair of boots like that to wear? And Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there?
The time will march, the years will go, the little fella's gonna grow. I gotta tell him what he needs to know, help him along so he'll know right from wrong. Gotta make him strong. As life's parade goes trudging by, he'll need to know some reasons why. I don't have all the answers, but I'll try best that I can. Gonna help him to plan so he'll be a man. You give a kid your best, and you hope he'll pass the test when you finally send him out into the world somewhere. But though he's grown, I'm betting I never will forget. Daddy, can I have a big elephant over there? Hey, what they doing there? And how you work that there? And oh, Daddy, oh, hey, Daddy, hey, what that say up there? Hey, Daddy, what is fair? How come I gotta share? And Daddy, can I have a big elephant over there?
Every morning at 6 o'clock, I go to my work. Old coat buttoned up around my neck, no job would I shirk. Icy winds blow around my head, cutting at my face. I'll tell you what I'd like to have is my dear old father's place.
Everybody works but father, he lays around all day.
Feet stretched out to the fire, smoking his pipe of clay.
Mother takes in washing, and so does Sister Ann.
Everybody works around our house but my old man. Carpets, father said he simply was a prince. We took all of mother's carpet out and we hung it on the fence. Then mother said, now beat it, dear, with all your might and main.
Father, he just beat it back to the fireside again.
And everybody works but father, he lays around all day.
feet stretched out to the fire, smoking his pipe or play. Mother takes in washing, and so does Sister Dan. Everybody works around our house but my old man. Everybody works but Father, he's gonna work next week. Bought him a pick and shovel, gonna dig out the Cato Street. Mother's quit taking in washing, and so has Sister Ann. Everybody takes vacation but my old man.
And everybody works but Father, he lays around all day.
Feet stretched out to the fire, smoking his pipe of clay. Mother takes in washing, and so does Sister Ann. Everybody works around our house but my old man.
Norman and Nancy Blake with a Saturday Light Brigade favorite, Everybody Works But Father. And then Oscar Brown Jr. With Dat Dare. In that case, a song that some words were added to. It's Cannonball Adderley, if memory serves. Well, coming up in just a few moments, Ernie Hawkins is here along with Clint Hoover. You're going to really enjoy getting a chance to hear them. If you know them already, you know. If not, stick around. It'll be great to have you here as part of our audience today. So hang tight. They'll be ready in a moment or two.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible with support from Assemble. Assemble invites the community to blast off to outer space at this year's Maker Date auction on Saturday, September 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Union Project. The evening will feature opportunities to bid on learning sessions with talented creators, a raffle table, hands-on activities, food, drinks, and live music. All proceeds benefit Assemble's STEAM education programs. More information on Maker Date Auction is available at assemblepgh.org/makerdate.
A quick note, if you're a teen and if you are looking for something to do this summer, or if you know of such a teen, our youth documentary workshops. You can create a social justice documentary or podcast with us. The workshops run the week of July 10th and July 17th. Not only is the program free, due to generous support from the Heinz Endowments, but you can earn up to $500 in stipends for your hard work. No experience is needed. Transportation assistance is available. Applications due June 30th. Learn more at tinyurl.com/SLB Summer Docs. Broadcasting live as if there were any other way from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, Alexa Bosick, Todd Chorosky, and in a moment, Ernie Hawkins and Clint Hoover. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including those listed at slbradio.org/radio.
Christmas in overall. Now she's gone, I don't worry. I'm sitting on top of the world. Come running, holding out your hand. Go get you a woman, go get you a man. Now she's gone, I don't worry. I'm sitting on top of the world. My tree, stay out my orchard, let them be. But now she's gone, I don't worry, 'cause I'm sitting on top of the world.
Carolina Chocolate Drops, sitting on top of the world, and you are going to feel that way in a moment if your ears enjoy great authentic acoustic blues. Ernie Hawkins and Clint Hoover are here. We'll also talk about how you can hear them live and see them 1 week from today. And Point Breeze.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting SLB Radio. The Northside Chronicle is a free community newspaper that provides hyperlocal coverage of the people, places, and events in Pittsburgh's historic Northside neighborhoods. The June issue, featuring a tourist guide to the Northside, is available now.